Check one. Wow, I want to thank Greg and Shannon, man. Got here, and here's this, here's your water, here's that. Eddie, we go to prison, we don't get that kind of rollout service, do we? Even have monitors. I get spoiled by monitors and good sound systems, you know. Well, I just want to take a second to say hello. Katie and I have been in Austin here 22 years. Been in prison ministry over 33 years. We've been married over 44 years. All that means we're getting to be old now. Pastor Mike mentioned that years ago he was missions pastor at Shoreline, so we're a mission from the church. So I'd meet with him once a month and learn to really appreciate him. The words that come to mind are integrity, knowledge, insight, and it was always a blessing to meet with him just to draw from him years of experience. You may not know this, but many years ago, or you may not know this about him, but many years ago, when we were in the Assembly of God Church in Texarkana, Texas, Pastor Mike would go around to different churches talking about rock music and all the symbolism and negative things in rock music. And so your pastor has a lot of knowledge in a lot of areas, as you know. And I just love Pastor Cheryl, and especially her accent. And I would sometimes call the church just hoping to get the voicemail, because I would get something like, leave your name and number, and I will return your call. And I thought, man, call, I love that. And I always thought that was, maybe she thought it was funny, but then she thought this hick accent from Louisiana is probably funny too. So we got to be, but she's still beautiful, and they're awesome, awesome people. Well, before we go to the Word, I need to speak to the author. Is that all right? Father, and the words of the old classic hymn, I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, as I come to thee. Father, you said in your word in Jeremiah 1:12, you can watch every word to perform it in the hearts of the hearers tonight. And Isaiah 55:11 said your word will go forth and not return void, and the devil's been destroyed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Well, if you have your Bible, hold it up. If you don't have your Bible, hold up your hand, because we're going to believe that the word of God is going to be written upon the tablet of your heart. You're going to use that word to encourage people and lead them to the Lord. Repeat after me. Say, this is the all-powerful, living Word of God. If I will eat it and repeat it and not delete it, I'll have a seed to sow into those who want to know and grow, and it'll keep me from stumping my toe. From this moment on, I'm in the Holy Ghost zone, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' mighty name, because I'm coming off the bench to get into the game. Hoorah! 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 Y'all kind of weak on the hoorahs. We're going to have to work on that. Amen? Well, our goal in ministry is to give others knowledge so they know Jesus intimately and know His Word passionately. Knowledge is all powerful because of Hosea 4:6, God says, my people, whether that be His creation or His believers, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So, our mission and ministry can be summed up in this little short rap. I've come to inspire, to bring forth desire, to put you on fire for the word to acquire. Amen. So tomorrow, if you're a little bit more fired up to get into the word because you see the benefits, then I've been a good salesman and accomplished my mission tonight. And I need a little drink of water here. I'm careful how I did that. One time I was preaching at Shoreline, and it's one of the few times you get to preach, and they videoed that, and I drank that water so fast I spit it back up right then. So now when I do it a little bit slower than I used to, amen? Well, tonight I'm talking about a subject that is really, really important, and it's one that has changed my life through the years, and that is called faith, and to develop a faith mentality. Just give you a little history where I'm coming from. I was born in a nightclub environment. My dad owned a nightclub and a fishing camp. He had a drinking problem. We didn't go to church. So I was 22 years old. I was 22 years old going to Northwestern State University in Natchitoches, Louisiana. And my father-in-law was a Baptist preacher. He preached a series of sermons on hell and scared me out of hell. And then when I was about 8 years later, when I was 30 years old, we found out about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I received that, and once that happened, it did something to me. It birthed in me an insatiable, unquenchable appetite to be addicted to the Word of God. And so, how many know that Bible study is a continuing education, and we don't finish till we see the author face to face, amen? So that's kind of where we're at. But it really, it changed my whole mindset and my way of thinking, because I had low esteem, didn't think much about myself. I can't do anything mentality. And then when you're programmed that way for years and years and years, and as Pastor Mike shared tonight, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, so we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is your identity in Christ. When you've been programmed for years to be nothing, that's hard for you to comprende usted. You don't buy that easily. But finally I had to come to the place where I said, okay, the creator of the universe, the almighty God of everything, this is what he says about me. And besides, I liked it. Genesis 1:27, created his image. Deuteronomy 7:6, I'm special. Psalm 139:44, fearfully and wonderfully made. Ephesians 2:10, I'm God's workmanship. 1 Peter 2:9, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I'm special unto God. Man, I like that. I didn't get a whole lot of attaboys when I was a kid. Had some approval addiction, like a lot of you out there. Amen. But then the Word began to approve me and say, you okay? I put my spirit in you, and I make you one of God's champions. And even that was hard to believe. But I finally said, I'm just going to go with you, Lord, whatever you say. Amen. So it changed my outlook on life. And probably wouldn't be here today without that teaching, basic teachings of our identity in Christ, and the believer has delegated authority, power, etc. But tonight, we're going to talk about developing a faith mentality or mindset. And the first thing is that we have to understand that faith is believing God's Word. Faith is trust that God's Word is true. Because that is a challenge, because of John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In our prayer closet, we get to know the Lord intimacy through our prayer life, because coincidences start happening when we start praying, and we begin to bear witness with his spirit that he's real, and we sometimes just can feel his presence. We know in our knower that we know, and then we go to the Word, and we find out through the Word that he is who he says he is. Amen. God is a spirit, and they worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And in Hebrews 11:1, it gives the definition of faith. In the King James, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I was looking at the Good News Bible translation, and it says to have faith is to be sure of what we hope for and to be certain of what we have not seen. I thought, well, I like those words, sure and certain. That means to know that you know that you know, and you know that you know without a doubt that he is. And you know, I believe with Job, you know, in Job 1:8, God is bragging on Job. He says, have you seen my servant Job? There's none like him in the whole earth. He's a holy, upright man, a man who hates evil, avoids evil, you know. And I believe what he was saying, Job knows that I am the great I am and not the great I was. And so when everything came on Job, he wasn't looking for the bait of Satan offense. He wasn't looking for a way to not believe God. He already made that decision. There's no plan B, God. I'm riding with him. Maybe I need to understand some things when adversity comes my way. And why do we listen to the lies of the devil more than going to the Word of God to find the truth? It's so easy. Why is faith muy importante? Because of Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to walk in holiness? You want to be motivated to live for God? Not have to worry about the law and what you can't do and you can't do? Then get a heart that wants to please God. That'll get you going in the right direction. It won't be hard anymore. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that comes to God must believe that he is. Say he is. And that he's a rewarder. Say, God is a rewarder. The devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. But God is a rewarder. God is a good God. The devil's bad. They haven't changed places. So don't be mad or sad. Of them that do what? Diligently, earnestly, sincerely seek him. Wow. Romans 4:17. God quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. And then Paul begins to brag on Abraham. And I love this phrase. You know what's great about the Word? When you have the Word, you can give people hope that don't have any. Because the Word will do that. Pastor Shaw, I like this first little phrase right here. When you're praying for people who the doctor says, you only got 4 months to live, it seems like there's no hope. Just remember Romans 4:18, this phrase. Say it with me. Abraham, say Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. That means I can. Against hope. Why? Because Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We serve the God of hope, so we're never without hope. Wow. And you can tell yourself that and tell others. You have to be blessed to be a blessing. That's why we need the Word, so we can bless other people with the Word. There are two generic ministries for every believer. The ministry of reconciliation, bringing the lost to the foot of the cross. The ministry of exhortation, taking the Word of God and reminding people what it has said so they can keep that in their head. Your name don't have to be Fred. First Peter 1:7. We're all kind of going to get to this place. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, in whom now you have not seen, in whom yet you love, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, receiving the end of your faith, the outcome of your hope, the manifestation of your believing, and the salvation of your soul. What this is saying is that there's a time when your faith is on trial. That's usually not when everything's going awesome in your life. That's usually when adversity knocks on the door, we're going to see what we're made out of. And the Bible says that in Romans 15:1, we then that are strong will bear the infirmities of the weak. Jesus was a handout looking for standouts. We want to be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to be strong in the Lord, and we want to be able to deliver the Word. And when there's a trial going on, we want to show up with evidence. And when fear knocks on the door, we want to answer that door with faith. The enemy of faith is fear, doubt, and unbelief. But faith has some allies called hope and peace. Amen. So we want those allies in our lives. Abraham, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being, here's what faith is, fully persuaded. Say, fully persuaded. Say, faith is fully persuaded. It's being sure. It's being certain. It's being fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore is imputed to count to him for righteousness. Wow. But there's only one way to get faith. It doesn't come from Sports Illustrated magazine or one of those ladies' magazines that you see at the counter that has all of that laser surgery done to some lady. It doesn't come from watching Jerry Springer reruns. There's only one way faith comes, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Tonight, you are in the arena of faith so that you are equipped to go out into the octagon of the world where adversity is going to be knocking on your door. You're in boot camp because the Word is coming forth. But the key is when you go out there, those things will drain on your battery like a cell phone. And after a while, if you don't go back to the Word, guess what? Your phone is out. And you're responding to darkness and fear. That's why we have a daily time set apart, because we hunger for it, where we can't get through the day without the Word. And ladies, it's more of a challenge for you. Because when I get up, I have to get up early. Because in a few hours, everybody wants some of my time. If I go to work like they do, when is my Word time? But what I've learned is when you have hunger, that defines passion. And passion will always be your priority. We just want the Word to be your priority. And everything else will come after that. It's Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will come into place for you. So faith is believing. We have to believe that God's word is true. And don't you love to be around people who act like the word is true? I mean, they're just rock steady all the time, always believing for the good report. Anytime, matter of fact, they'll catch you being negative, and they won't condemn you, but they might say, well, hear what you're saying, brother, but here's what the word says. And what do? They shake you. They remind you. Oh, yeah, I knew that, but I need to hear it. See, why do we come to church on Wednesday night? Because you know that, but you need to hear it. Because a lot of people are not hearing it tonight. Programmed by the world. I teach a class called Pray the Word in Prisons, and the objective is to get the L out of world. When you get the L out of world, what do you end up with? Word mentality. My goal in life is, or where I want to go and grow to, is that when people ask me, Pastor Cheryl, what do you think? And I'll say, it doesn't matter what I think, but here's what the Word says concerning that. That's all really matters. Amen? All right, so we want to believe it. Number two, faith is speaking God's Word. The devil comes for your words. Because your words are a reflection of your thought life, and your thought life is a reflection of your belief system. So we think about what we believe, and we speak what our thoughts are. We speak the Word if we know the Word. So sometimes we rehearse the problem rather than praying the promise. Sometimes we speak about the mountain rather than speaking to the mountain. And the Word says we can have what we say, but a lot of times we've been saying what we have. And when we do that, the thing that we fear is faith in reverse. So we begin to meditate on that thing and that worry. And we meditate on that, and it consumes our thoughts. We're actually beginning to have faith that that thing will come upon us. In Job 3:25, Job said, the thing which I greatly feared is come unto me, or upon me. And that which I was afraid of is coming to me. So maybe we just need to meditate on the Word and catch ourselves with those thoughts. And learn the three R's, not reading, writing, and arithmetic. But when that negative thought of fear comes to our mind, we need to learn three R's. Say it with me. Recognize that it's negative and it's from the enemy, because 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a calm, well-balanced, sound mind. And we recognize R. Number two, we're going to reject. Say reject. Push the eject button. Amen? The reject button. Number three, say replace. Three R's, say it again. Recognize. Reject. Replace. With the it is written. Say with the it is written. Say you won't be smitten if you have the it is written. And you won't be the devil's kitten if you have the it is written. Because you can cut him. Amen. So we speak the Word into our lives and other people's lives. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13 says, we have in the same spirit of faith. Did you know we have the same spirit of faith? Did you know it says that in Romans 12, 3? We have in the same measure of faith? That means we have the same capacity to develop faith, because faith comes by hearing. We all have the same, I'm not a doctor, but I have a feeling we all have the same muscles. And some people do sit-ups, and they run, and you know, they got they're cut, chiseled, and buff, and they got a six-pack, and I got a sub-pack, you know. And so, because they choose to develop muscles. Guess what? We can have faith muscles, but you have to have knowledge of what to have faith muscles. The Word. And faith comes by, and hearing by, the Word. And it's not a matter of size. This is what we tell people in prison, you know. You can... The biggest guy in the prison can be 6'8", cut, chiseled, and buff, and that's not enough, because if he doesn't have knowledge, the devil will move into his head and have him at a point of suicide quickly. Then there can be a little bitty person just full of the Word of God, and the devil is so trembles in fear because the Word's going to come forth. And every time he knocks on the door, faith is going to respond to fear and speak into it. So having the same spirit of faith, as it is written, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore we speak. What do we speak? We speak the Word of God. It is written, according to your word. your word says. In Mark 11, 22 through 24, Jesus said, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, what things soever you desire when you pray and say, believe that you receive them when you pray and say, and you shall have them when you pray and say. So when I pray for people to be healed, the important thing is, what are they going to say the next time someone asks them, how you doing? That's important. So I'm going to give you a couple answers. Are you ready? Here's one. Tell them this. Say it with me. The word is still working. Say, by faith, I believe I'm healed according to the word. Because my circumstances are subject to change. But the word of God will never change. Will never change. Isaiah 40:408. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever, never, 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 never. Some of these clouds are going to move out of your life because of the word. But the word's always going to be there. The devil's a liar, so that means everything that comes into your life in a negative. I mean, if you have a headache, what does he say? That's going to be an aneurysm. And you got cancer, they're going to cut your head off for long. Who will believe the report of the Lord? Man. I love this. Hebrews 11:3. You know, how many know that when you're in prayer, you can get revelation from the Lord? That's what I call a download. When you're in prayer and you get a download, The Lord downloads stuff into your life, and you don't have to be real smart, but it sounds real eloquent. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, Jesus. Because I don't have any. I plagiarize everything. I either get it from the Holy Ghost or I borrow it from preachers or whatever, right? but seriously, Lord could just. And here's one of those things the Lord revealed to him. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand. We understand through faith. See, faith is a language. You can't speak English if you don't know English. You can't speak Spanish if you don't know Spanish. You can't really speak the faith language if you don't know the word. So it's important. Through faith we understand through faith that the words were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So that means that the Lord didn't tell Gabriel, Michael, go to the landfill and get some dirt, bring over here, we're going to build the earth. Go to the water reservoir and get some water, and we're going to build an ocean. God just simply said, by his words, which have creative power, if his words have creative power, our words have creative power. Genesis 1:3, let there be light that always displaces darkness, and faith always displaces fear. So we need to be around faith people. Until we become one of them. Amen. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit of their Me and Miss Katie, we never ever had a problem with swearing, but we sure had a problem with just being negative. You know, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any at all. You know, if it's raining, whatever, cups upside down. I'm glad I don't remember a lot of those now. I was a band director, and I got paid once a month, about half of the month. You know, you're young couple, you haven't learned yet fully about tithing and getting out of debt, so you're just barely making it to payday, you know. Katie says, will we ever have enough money to get there? And we just begun to get this teaching about being careful what you say. And I said, well, do you want me to agree with that? And she's saying, well, no, actually, I need money. So I think we need to change what we say. Amen? And we're not talking about getting into denial. You know, God called those things which were not as though they were. He didn't call the things that are as though they're not. Somebody told me, someone came to John Osteen one time and said, see where the dog didn't bite me. That's truth carried to the extreme. When truth is carried to the extreme, that's error and denial. One thing I appreciate about your pastors, they are people of integrity. And I never want anything to happen in my ministry unless God does it 100%. So I'm not going to try to manifest any gifts of the Spirit to impress you. But when it happens, you'll know it's real. Because God will be the one doing it. Amen? Wow. Attentive ears. Somebody pray for attentive hearts and ears. 3:8-11. We're doing good. That's sure. Just stand up when time should be no more. Faith is doing God's word. Say doing. Say, I want to be a doer. You know, in prison, people live with each other 24/7. How would you like to live with your church every day? Wouldn't your halo be a little dimmer? Really, you know, we come to church, hey, hug everybody. Oh, she's so sweet. Yeah, but she'll blow up on you in a minute, man. You live with her. You might see another side. Amen. So, I know I have a point in what I was going to say. Is that you make a statement in prison by what you do and how you live. Not in the church, everybody raise their hands, but some of those men may come to church, and Luke Hadley can tell you this, and they may have just cussed out the officer. Are you with me? But when we sit in small groups and we do push-ups, that means say something good about a brother in your little circle. We're always watching the faces of the other inmates. When one guy's talking, you can see the body language of the rest of them. And if he's real, they're looking at him with honor and respect. But if he's talking a lot of trash and he's not walking the walk, the head's always like, oh, I can't believe this guy's talking about being so religious, man. You with me? So we make a statement by our lives when no one is looking. Heard this great quote. The only thing that walks back from the tomb with the mourners is the character of a man. It can never be buried. What about that legacy? What about your legacy? Great legacy, you pastors touch so many lives around the world. And their great-great-grandkids going to come up to them one day in heaven and say, thank you for giving the Lord. I was a life that was changed. Same thing with the prison. Wherever your ministry is, even in your family, if your children, grandchildren are serving God and on fire. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. James 2:20 and verse 26 says, faith without works is dead. You know, David was not listed in the Faith Hall of Fame, but I believe that David maybe should have, because David is a shepherd boy tending his father's sheep. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, would just breathe the word into him. You remember? And they wrote half of the Psalms. And I can see him, you know, taking care of the sheep. Well, they look pretty good over there. Oh, the Lord is putting Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. And et cetera, et cetera. And so he begins to write that down. And after 75 of those Psalms, a lot of the word is in David. So he becomes a man of faith. So one day, David's parents said, go down to the front lines. Your brothers are fighting against the Philistines. And go down there and take some food to them. So he goes down there and he notices right away that, man, everybody over here is kind of backing up. And there's a big old giant over there that's cussing out the armies of Israel. And David, I can just see him walking around saying, let's see. Oh, wait a minute. Hey, are y'all hearing what I'm hearing? There's an uncircumcised Philistine over there that's cussing us out. And y'all just sitting around here taking it? Don't you know? Don't you have some knowledge of some things? We have a covenant. He doesn't have a covenant. And this is WWE time, and he's talking trash, and nobody's going to step up. So it looks like I'm going to have to. And so David begins to talk faith, knowing that God is... And he says, you come to me with a sword, spear, and a shield, but I come unto you. I come unto you with the name, and the name of the Lord of hosts, and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defy. And I'm going to come over there. I'm going to take off your head, take it down to the taxidermist. Says, here's a 14. Can you do something with it? And I'm going to feed your body to the fowls of the air. And he picked up one little stone. As he released it, the Holy Spirit took charge at the 30-06 velocity. Psh, boom. And all the Philistines in the world has their faith in their giant, but when the giant is dead, they're running. Whatever the giant is in your life, the Holy Spirit's going to eradicate and obliterate that giant. And when the devil leaves town, all the little demons go with him. Amen? Faith mindset, faith mentality. Hebrews 11:6, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured to seeing him who is invisible. The eyes of faith will see the invisible until it becomes visible. A couple of definitions of faith. Listen carefully. Faith is believing that what you cannot see will come to pass. Fear is believing that what you cannot see will come to pass. We all listening? Sound like I kind of said the same thing. What's the difference? Faith attracts the positive. Fear attracts the negative. Abraham, you remember early in his life in Genesis 12, the Lord just said to him, get up from your house and your country and go to a place where I will show you. Can you see that today? If the Lord tells me, get up from, sell your home, get your U-Haul trailer, and get on I-35 and go north. Where are we going? I don't know. Just keep going. And first off, he's going to have to talk to Miss Katie. Amen. But he obeyed. Obedience is key. And then remember when he said, take your, no, then he said, hey, you're 100 and Sarah's 90 and you're going to have a baby. And I'm sure he said, I can believe, he went home and told Sarah, I can believe you can. Do they have one of those Victoria's Secret for seniors over there? We're going to need some help here. And then he finally tells him, you have a baby. And you need to take that baby up to a mountain in Moriah and offer him up. And Abraham was just used to obeying God. That's the key, obedience. As the guy right here, you know the story. A ram caught a thing. It became a type of Christ, a substitution. So Abraham became known as the father of faith. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there's a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. So let God speak by his word in your every season. Let him speak hope in your season of despair. Let him speak faith in your season of doubt. Let him speak healing in your season of sickness. Let him speak provision in your season of lack. Let him speak courage in your season of failure. Let him speak deliverance in your season of bondage and addictions. Let him speak wisdom in your season of bad choices and wrong thinking. But let this be your season of faith, hope, and restoration, which will lead to liberation and a lot of jubilation. Can I get some appreciation? And let me close with Joshua 1:9. Amen. Let me close right here. When people are walking in fear, and you know they're in the church, and, you know, I don't go up and condemn people, but I just say, you know, remember Joshua 1:9. Just remember, Joshua succeeded Moses, and man, Moses did all these miracles. Just think how he felt so inadequate. And God said, have not a command to be strong, who can courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Whithersoever you go, I am really the key. It wasn't Moses, not about Moses, not about Joshua, not about you or me. It's about the one in me who gives us grace, the ability to do what he's called us to do. And Philippians 1:6 is being confident this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. With the five pillars of virtue in Christian ministry: excellence, favor, integrity, gratefulness, and faithfulness. Can you say amen? I'm not used to everybody paying so good attention. There's some guys in the back row talking about their gang activity, so thank you for not doing that today. Amen, Pastor Cheryl.
Amen. Wasn't that a good word? Gosh, that's awesome to have in the middle of the week. Amen. It's pumping your faith and getting you ready to what God wants you to do for the rest of the week. And we appreciate that word. That's awesome. Thank you very much. We're going to take up an offering for their ministry tonight. And so if the ushers would like to hand out the offering envelopes, if you would like to make a check out, you can make it to TOLC. And we'll just make sure we'll count it and put it all together and make sure they get a check tonight, one check. And we appreciate that. I really enjoy sitting under different ministries, don't you? It's awesome. And, you know, that's one thing that Pastor is very good about doing, is he brings in very varied ministries. But one of the fun ministries that I really enjoy is when you can enjoy receiving the word. Amen. And then you can take it and you can use what you've learned. And I tell you what, this ministry is that. And I actually know their daughter, Carmen May, and she's a blessing. And I tell you what, she's a fruit of their ministry and their lives. And it's awesome to see how faithful God has been to them and their family and their granddaughters and grandson. You have one grandson? One grandson, and look, four 6 granddaughters and 1 grandson. Wow, a little outnumbered. Where's your faith for the sons here? Come on. But I appreciate what God's done in your lives. And, you know, there's nothing like looking at a changed life. You know, that when God calls somebody out of darkness and he sets them into light, and then, you know, he said that he had a bad self-image, he was nothing. You know, we've all come from that place of being in the miry clay, amen? But God the Redeemer has called each one of us and pulled us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the solid rock, amen? And we're not just called to be here, to go to our jobs, be moms and dads, be friends. We are called for a destiny. We all have a call on our life and an anointing, amen? And so you are called for the works of the Lord. And what is it all for? To bring him glory. Amen. It's all for the glory of God. And I just thank God that he has called each one of us here. And, you know, we may not all stand behind pulpits and we may not all be able to quote the word of God like Ron does from memory. But you know what? The word is seed in your life. And no matter how you give it out, that seed will grow, take root, grow, multiply. And guess what? You're not just a fig tree with leaves, amen, but you're a fig tree with fruit. So that you can share it. Remember Sunday, if you were here? And so I encourage you to take the word of God, because that's what it's all about, is the word of God is God, his life, his power, and he has it for each one of us. So learn the word of God. If there's anything that I find that is not in the church, is people knowing the word of God. Study your Bible. You know, read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow, grow, grow. Don't read your Bible, forget how to pray, and you will shrink, shrink, shrink. I'm not a rapper. That's a song I learned. It's a song I learned in Sunday school, right? But it's true, you know, and that's what he was sharing tonight. You read your Bible, and you'll grow, grow, grow. You don't read your Bible, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. It's basically the bottom line, and the Word of God needs to become your culture. Your culture. I remember having a sermon preached about passports and your identity, and whose identity do you have? Which kingdom do you belong to? You know, they always want to say, oh, you're South African, you're American, you have this accent, you have that accent. But you know what we need to be? The culture of the Lord. The culture of the word, our new identities. We are citizens of the kingdom. Amen? And so therefore, we need to act like citizens of the kingdom. And one of the requirements is knowing the word of God. To become an American citizen, I have to know how to become a citizen and know the Constitution, and they give me a test. And I have to know what I'm talking about before I become a citizen. So when I'm a citizen, I know what this country is all about and what I live. It's just like you and I. You have to know the word to be a good citizen of the kingdom of God. And so I'm encouraging you to get a hold of the word, because you can repeat the word just like any poem and any song, but if it doesn't have the power of the living God behind it, amen, it's nothing. So we need the word of God. We need the baptism. We need the baptism of the Holy. We need the power, the dunamis power of the Holy Ghost. And we need to go forth, amen, and display his kingdom and his glory. So thanks so much for your word. It's encouraging and awesome to have you here. And Katie, your wife, awesome to see you. If you guys want to come ahead, we'll just pray over this offering, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you so much for your word that's gone forth tonight. I pray that it has taken hold, and as the seed has been once planted and the encouragement, I pray that it would take root and it would grow, Father. We thank you for this offering tonight. I pray that everything that is placed in this offering, Father, that you would multiply greatly. Father, that you would bless the Brigmans in their ministry. That, Father, they have many years ahead, Father, and they need finances to keep going. I pray that you would just bless them abundantly, Father, and that you would give them everything that their hearts desire, Father, in seeing the kingdom of God established. We thank you for their lives. We thank you for this offering tonight, and we pray that you'd bless the offering and their lives, and we thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.